Welcome to Dare to Innovate, a new series we're launching here at Calero MDSL. We are going to explore various topics across the technology space, across the market, and dive in deep with several guests as we continue to move forward. My name is Andrew Taylor, President and CRO. Today we have Scott Gilbert, CEO, and Claire McAuliffe, Director of Marketing. Thank you both for being here. Today we will be talking about SaaS expense management. Are you ready? Scott, what does the future of SaaS look like?
It's a good question. I don't think it's going away. I think SaaS is going to continue to be incredibly relevant. I mean, I think if we look back to the history of SaaS and where it came from, with Salesforce.com from humble beginnings to being this prolific application that companies rely on, we're going to see it continue going that way. The challenge is going to be associated with how do we control it? SaaS is easy to consume. It's easy to buy. Anyone with a credit card and an organization can go sign up for licenses somewhere. So it's going to continue to grow. At some point, it's going to get to the point where we actually need to know what we're buying and how do we control what we're buying.
Why are we talking about SaaS today?
That's a good question. I think without a doubt, COVID is the biggest reason for the explosive SaaS growth. Look, SaaS was already on this tremendous trajectory of growth. COVID came around, forced every single organization to make decisions that they didn't have time to plan. They didn't have time to budget. They just had to go buy more, spend more to enable their employees, keep businesses running, keep the economy moving. We've gotten a little bit of headroom now. Now we can start to go back and say, okay, hey, did we really need all of that? Or are we still using all of that? Are people coming back to the office? Are they going to continue working remote? And we're at this inflection point. You know, I don't know if SaaS is going to continue on the same growth rate we've seen over the past 2 years, or whether it's going to plateau off for a little while, or maybe if it's going to dip. Maybe people are going to come back to the office and we're going to see a dip in it. Either way, it has definitely put a magnifying glass on the control process, which is pretty much non-existent in most enterprises.
Claire, what are your thoughts on what are we really feeling and seeing?
The acceleration of SaaS applications and licenses and usage has exploded over the last couple of years. It is on everyone's mind. We are seeing 3 and 4X engagement with the UCaaS and SaaS materials that we're sending out, as opposed to anything else right now that we're pushing, which tells me that everyone is looking for answers. They're trying to understand what it is, what they need, how it works.
So it's an interesting topic, only from the perspective of, do we think this is related to the pandemic, as you guys mentioned before, or is this just a natural evolution in the market of how people buy and consume different products?
The one thing we know is that none of our customers are in the business of buying fixed services, of buying data services, buying mobile. They need it to run their business. None of our customers should be experts in buying SaaS licenses, right? You know, Toyota or whoever, they make cars. They don't buy licenses. And so part of, I think, the realization as that number gets larger and larger is, look, there are people that can help with this. There are programs that can help with this. I was talking to an executive at a consulting agency last week, and he was talking, they work exclusively with Fortune 100 companies. And he said one of their biggest money makers is going in and simply looking at Salesforce.com. And he said he walked into a company 2 weeks ago and found they had 7 separate Salesforce.com contracts. So 7 different business units had bought Salesforce.com for various reasons and all negotiated separate pricing. And
is this segmented to a certain area where we're seeing an explosive growth, or is it, you know, ubiquitous across the market?
So companies that can still do what they do, but remotely, are definitely embracing it more. So whether that is professional companies, banking institutions, financial institutions, technology companies, those we're definitely seeing the focus is much higher on it. Things like manufacturing, retail, where there is a very real component of you can't do your job unless you are here. We're not seeing as much of it there outside of sort of that administrative function within those companies.
So we've been talking a lot about the problems, the issues that people are seeing, and it feels to me, tremendously overwhelming. And so when you think about how many applications that are out there, where do you start? And how do you pick where you start? Because you can't continue to go down the path. I think we understand SaaS applications are continuing to explode within the enterprise. They're all over the place. But where do you start?
Yeah, I think there's a few different options, right? First of all, none of them involve boiling the ocean. You can't do it all at once. It needs to be one or two. They can't try and say, look, I'm going to eat this entire elephant in one bite. I'm just going to get a program in place and then begin to roll the rest of my SaaS applications right on top of it. But I think we talked a little bit about it earlier. Where does it belong? The answer is it belongs with the CFO or the CIO that takes it, that says, hey, I need to look at this. I need to know that, hey, we've got 7 different Salesforce contracts. This has to end. We've got to put something in place. So some of it's going to be who just steps up and takes it.
Why hasn't someone taken it? Why do they not feel that there is something there?
My opinion is what I said earlier, which is none of these companies are in the business of procuring SaaS licenses. So,
but that's what procurement does.
And I think, again, I think it's because a lot of these SaaS licenses never ended up going through procurement for these large organizations. They circumvented. They had someone that, again, had a corporate credit card and provisioned a Salesforce license or, you know, an Adobe license or whatever it is. And so it has not made its way through that procurement agency, right? That procurement agency exists because a CFO or a CIO took control and said, I can't do this. You know, that's not me generating value for our business. We're going to go create a department for it. So maybe in a lot of cases, it's going to be the CPO that steps up and does it. Right now, they've got to go find it, to your point. They've got to go find out.
Yeah.
Claire, as we look at this, you know, we've talked a lot about Fortune 100, Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 organizations. Is this a problem that only exists in the very large? Or is this a problem that expands horizontally across every organization that's out there?
On any scale, it's relevant because everyone is using SaaS applications. Whether or not they're thinking about it is another story. And I think that's what we're seeing as we look at the different consumer profiles that are emerging in the marketplace. For some, there is high awareness, low ability to solve at the moment. For others, there's high awareness and struggle for budget. But for a lot, there's low awareness. First, you have to evaluate and understand what you even have, and then you can try to find a solution.
And look, we have a very specific program and product we offer and a value proposition around it. And traditionally, that is tailored towards larger organizations. Mm-hmm. As you were chatting through that, that made me realize it is incredibly, incredibly valuable to even smaller organizations was the fact that we're starting to see a version of what we do being marketed to people, being marketed to individual consumers. And you're seeing these services come up where it's like, look, I'm going to take your bank statement and I'm going to find that, oh, you're paying for Netflix and Hulu and this. And then I'm going to go and you're going to give me your logins and I'm going to see you haven't watched anything on Netflix. I know you have watched a lot on Netflix, but you haven't watched anything on Netflix for the past 6 months. So you're seeing that now that this SaaS technology is just much more accessible and easy to understand whether we're using it or not using it, if you have a program in place to drive value, even down to the individual consumer level with my 87 streaming subscriptions.
We talked a lot about waste. We talked a lot about expense. We talked a lot about the problems that the enterprises are having. But, you know, one of the things that I always get concerned about is from an employee perspective and the employee experience and giving them what they need. And so, you know, I wanted to end with thinking about them. This is not something to control them. This is not something there. So, you know, Claire, what's your perspective on how do you help the employees to get what they need when they need it and have what they need to do their job?
That's exactly what I'm always focusing on, is making sure that I try to enable them to do their job. That's what we're here for. It's constantly evaluating what it is we're trying to accomplish, the best tools for that job, and trying to keep track of all the various moving parts and pieces, you know, the MarTech stack and how complicated it is, where we can consolidate, where we need to expand as our needs evolve, as we try to get more sophisticated. but always trying to find that balance of reaching within awareness and the ability to sort of manage and keep an eye on it.
And you can't do a lot of those things unless you have visibility into what is, you know, how much am I spending with HubSpot? What seats do I have? Who's using them? Who's not using them? Because if you have that waste, it's like, hey, wait a minute, I could be providing this over to that other tool. Yep. But I think your question is a good one, especially today, in that, as I think we all know, it is an employee market. Employees have an enormous amount of power right now, given all of the changes that have happened. And part of attracting employees is some of the obvious things like, you know, what's my salary going to be? How many days can I work from home? But part of it is, what is your onboarding process like? Am I going to have the tools I need? And there are enough social applications out there where if you have a bad onboarding experience with a Fortune X company, people are going to know about it. And so, you know, we talked about the centralization of the procurement piece, but understanding that, hey, this is actually important to attracting the talent we need to drive our business forward is another reason why, just like with mobility, that this program needs to be managed. It needs to be deliberate. It can't just be left to Claire in marketing to make sure that she has the right license.
Joking. Don't ask me
you
to
can,
manage
you can
it
totally
all.
Be responsible for it. But it needs to be part, especially for these companies that have thousands of employees, it needs to be a program and deliberate and managed.
Well, I wanted to thank you too for joining me today on Dare to Innovate. It was a tremendous first session. We covered a lot. There are going to be a lot of questions that come out of this. If you're wondering where to start, get in touch. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time on Dare to Innovate.